It's January 24th, 2022. This is Taking the Temperature of the NRHA. I'm your host, Bruce Krentz, checking in on some people about quitting smoking. It's National Non-Smoking Week. But first, I haven't talked to her at all this year. Let's see what's up with Helga Bryant, our CEO. Hi, Helga, and Happy New Year. I don't think I've talked to you since the break. I hope things are going well for you and you had a good holiday season, even though it's a while in the rearview mirror already.
Thank you, Bruce, and hi to you as well, and Happy New Year. It does, you know, Christmas and New Year's feels like just a faint glimmer in the rearview mirror. You know, I had a Christmas 21 response team, we called it, that came together many, many times over the Christmas break. The admin on calls, you know, executives, parts of command. There was lots of activity and lots of work being done over Christmas and New Year's to keep our sites afloat and staff supported. So just a big shout out to that whole group. They know who they are. So I just really appreciated their work and for hanging in there Christmas and New Year's with us.
We've got some people that are coming and going. I'm hoping to catch up with Craig Hillier later on today, and we're disappointed he's going, but people got to move around.
Yes, you know, and Bruce, it's interesting. I mean, the hellos and the goodbyes. We say hello to new staff, and you know, the most current person that comes immediately to mind is Mandy Juba. She started just on Monday, the 17th, and she's the clinical patient care services manager for Gillam, Lynn, and Leaf. So she's a counterpart to Ben, who will be doing the facilities and sort of the support side of it. So they'll make a great duo, and we really welcome Mandy. She comes with a wealth of background management experience from Winnipeg and other places. And of course, we are very sad to be saying goodbye to Craig. As you said, people move around and there's other things that come into their lives that cause them to make these decisions. But we are so grateful to Craig for the service he's provided us and wish him absolutely all the best.
It's the nature of the North. We're a little bit transient, and it's good and bad. We get to meet a lot of people.
That's right. It has lots of positives, too. I know we, you know, often bemoan how frequently we have to recruit for certain positions and how challenging that can be. But, you know, we get to work with some really fascinating, interesting people. And if we have them for 2 or 3 years, that's great.
Some of our vaccine numbers are starting to look really good.
You know, it's interesting, Bruce, because we were so proud of our high numbers, right? The highest SDO really in the province. And then, of course, we saw that dip when we added the 5 to 11 year olds in the denominator. But now we've caught right back up again. So public health is just doing an amazing job of getting into schools and getting kids to come with their parents and getting an immunization not to be a scary thing. So just a great shout out to public health and to the public for really stepping to the plate around getting the kids vaccinated.
Top marks to Rochelle and the whole vaccine team and all the people that are putting needles in arms. We're reaching out. We're going to get even more people.
You know, COVID has not released its hold on the Manitoba public by any means. I mean, we have 631 COVID positive patients in hospital today. That's the highest ever since the pandemic started in this province. And we had 12 deaths today, Bruce. You know, we sometimes don't honor enough the deaths that happen. That leaves a family and a group of friends in mourning and in sadness. And, you know, we can say, okay, 900 in some cases today, but there were also 12 deaths. So that piece about severe outcomes in the unvaccinated is just such a risk. We still need to pay attention to the numbers. And I know the public will do the right thing and get vaccinated. In spite of the antibodies and the antivirals and all the other oral treatments that are coming in, they're treatments, they're not prevention. A vaccine will truly prevent you from having a serious outcome. Get vaccinated, because the alternative is something that can be prevented.
Helga mentioned that Craig Hillier, our executive director in Thompson, is leaving. I think I'll see if I can catch up with him before he goes. Hi there, Craig. How are you?
I'm doing well, Bruce.
You've been with the Northern Health Region for how long? A couple years? 3 years?
About 2.5, yeah, August of 2019, I arrived in Thompson.
Wow, and your tour is starting to come to an end, so you've taken another position. I just want to say how sad we are to see you go. We talked about it on an RMT call, and the chat was so full, they almost had to start a new one. What's the next step in the big Craig Hillier adventure?
It's really quite interesting, but on Valentine's Day, so February 14th, I will start at my new role as the program director for the cardiac sciences program at St. Boniface General Hospital. So kind of timely to be stepping into that role in cardiac sciences on Valentine's Day.
Wow, talk about a good omen. 2.5 years with the Northern Health Region. What are some of the highlights, or what are some of the things that you look back on?
I've had so many experiences, and there's so many things that run through my head. I think the number one thing for me is the people, like the population in Northern Health Region being so resilient, the people that I've worked with, so supportive, so caring, so focused on the provision of good health services. I've had the opportunity to interact with some really good, really quality people, and I've been really impressed with the effort, the work, the caring that they put, you know, into every single day. The other thing for me, Bruce, really was the opportunity to tour and see and visit some of the northern communities. I've been in Lynn Lake many times, been to Gillam many times, spent a good bit of time, you know, out on Paint Lake catching a few fish, and really just enjoyed the nature, the water, all of that. So it kind of reminds me of home in many ways.
Let me guess, home, Newfoundland?
You got it.
That one's a hard one to hide with the accent. Paint Lake's not nearly as big a water as you're used to, but I bumped into you out there one day and there was no way we were wiping the smile off your face or mine. It was a beautiful night. There's just nothing better.
Yeah, sitting by the water is good for the soul, eh?
It is. In the past, you were a respiratory therapist and did some work on tobacco reduction and work with the province, and we're just heading into National Non-Smoking Week. You want to tell me a little bit about some of your experience with that and some of the things you've had a chance to work on?
I actually spent about a year, I guess, developing a clinical practice guideline for tobacco reduction in various settings, including acute care, community care, primary care, all of those sorts of things. There's much to do around smoking cessation, tobacco reduction. One of the things that stands out to me really, Bruce, is how we ask people about their tobacco use. I can quickly share a story. When I was working as a respiratory therapist in Saskatchewan, an emergency room physician said to me, you know, this individual, this patient looks like someone who has COPD, but they've never, ever been a smoker. And so I went to see the patient, and the first question I asked them was, you know, about their tobacco use. And the reason that the physician believed them to never have been a smoker is because the question that was asked was, do you smoke? And the patient said, no. But when I asked the patient if they've ever smoked and when they quit smoking, they said, well, I quit smoking yesterday when I got sick. So there's really still a lot of work to do about how we even assess patients on first meeting about their tobacco use.
How we start that conversation. What a great story. And the province is starting a quit card program, which is kind of neat. We're actually helping people with accessing NRT, so nicotine replacement therapies. This is an exciting, huge step.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really great. They ran a really good pilot project around quit card and tobacco reduction programming. Quit card and counseling, I think, is what it's called. So it'll be exciting to see what happens next in that area and how that pilot project can maybe be used to spread some more tobacco reduction strategies throughout Manitoba. It will also go a long way towards helping decrease some of the burden of illness that goes along with the tobacco use.
We talked about sitting around by the water. When you finally drag yourself away from work, what do you like to do?
That happens. Well, you know, one of the primary reasons that I taking the job back in Winnipeg is to be able to spend more time with my family. I really do enjoy a day of fishing when I get the opportunity. I think I've even outfished Ed Hardigan once or twice, eh? So
those might be fighting words. I'm not even sure if we'll keep that in the podcast.
But I do enjoy any opportunity to get outside, to, you know, experience the wind on your face, and the sit by the water is always my favorite. Honestly, I'm really hoping that the travel will happen again soon, because we really miss the East Coast. So I'm looking forward to trying to get a trip back home.
You got to get back to the rock. You've got a homing beacon built in, man.
Exactly. It's like a tractor beam, right? Just keeps pulling you back.
You can't help it. We're going to miss you a ton, and best of luck in the future.
Thank you, Bruce. I will miss all of you, and I hope that our paths will continue to cross in the future.
Craig and I talked about the Quit Card program and people quitting smoking. It's National Non-Smoking Week. What an excuse to call Colleen Tower, our tobacco reduction specialist in Flin Flon. Hi, Colleen. It's National Non-Smoking Week. You are sort of newish in your position. You took over the big shoes of Deanna Johnson. How long have you been in that role, and what's your path been to get into that with the RHA? Because you've been with us much longer than you've been in this role.
Deanna retired in April, so officially I kind of took over this role then, but I had been shadowing her for a little while. And before that, it took me a year to take the certified tobacco educator training. So I kind of did that on the evenings and weekends. Prior to her retiring, I also was a community health developer, which is kind of half time of this job. So I kind of was absorbing a lot of it over the 4 or 5 years that we had shared an office together anyway.
Seems almost like an organization's dream to have a transition that works like that. What was your position even before a community health developer?
This is my 18th year. So I started out part-time casual with Families First. Quite shortly after I got hired, ended up being full-time. After about 5 years of that, I had the opportunity to become the coordinator of the Insight Mentor Program. And so I did that for about 6 years, and it was a great job, but it was time to move on, try something different. And I think a lot of the skills that I learned throughout the two previous jobs really are what helped me feel confident that this would be a good job for me to apply for.
I don't know anybody who knows the community better than you do, and it's through those positions, but it's probably also through your life. I know you're involved with the food bank. What are some of the things that help you from your real life, but what do you like to do when you're not at work? Go to someplace really warm?
Yes. In normal days, when we could travel and feel comfortable traveling, I do love to travel. And although I have been a northern girl most of my life, I mean, I grew up in Thompson and lived in Snow Lake and Flin Flon. I briefly lived in Winnipeg while I went to university. I have never, ever embraced winter the way someone from the north should. You know, winter has been really difficult the past couple of years because I do like to get away somewhere warmer, but lots of reading and staying home and, you know, self-isolating has not been difficult for me.
What's your toilet paper situation right now? When that little panic went through, I know you were better set up than anyone. Give us an estimate. What do you got on hand right now?
I really was. This may be my lowest throughout the whole pandemic. I might be down to 6 24 packs in my basement. And this started long before COVID. A great uncle of mine used to keep much, much toilet paper behind his bathroom door. And we always teased him about it. And he always said, if ever anything happens, toilet paper is always going to be a necessity that everyone needs. You should always have it on hand. And I've always kept that in mind. So when the pandemic hit, I was very well set.
What a prophecy.
And the funny thing was, is when the pandemic hit and toilet paper became like a premium item, family members started texting me from Winnipeg all over the place saying, you know, if desperate, could we buy some of your stockpile from you? And who's laughing now? Over time, I've kind of, it's dwindled. So 6 is really the lowest amount I've ever gotten to. I feel less worried about it now, especially in a house where only 2 people live. It's really unnecessary, but.
Kind of overkill.
Yeah.
National Non-Smoking Week is coming up. This is your push for the summit in this position.
We're using this week as more of a reminder to people that, you know, it's never too late to quit and have to just keep trying. You know, what's the saying? Never quit quitting. Just educating people that there's resources out there. There's help out there. You don't have to do it alone. And you don't have to do it face to face with someone right now either. If you prefer a more anonymous approach, there's that too. There's all kinds of options right now.
And one of those options is you. So in a nutshell, what's your 30-second elevator pitch on what you actually do in your position?
Lots of prevention work. So helping people never start smoking. But primarily right now, because we are mostly in the office these days, is a lot of cessation work with people. So lots of talking over the phone, occasionally in person, with people who want to quit. And then what can I do to help you? And we also offer a little bit of support getting people started if they want to choose some form of nicotine replacement. People are so grateful. It's kind of like kickstarts you into different ways, and having someone to talk to you about the proper way to use what you're getting.
National Non-Smoking Week, to me, it's not such a big deal anymore because quitting smoking, tobacco reduction, cessation are more common now than they probably were in 1972. Is that the feeling that you get too?
I do think we do a really good job of keeping that message out year round. It doesn't have to happen in January. It can happen anytime throughout the year, even if you just start thinking about it. And there's lots of education going out to schools. I feel like the prevention work is really doing its job, and we're seeing less and less people initiating smoking now.
You said it better than I did. That's why you're in the position and I'm not. Hopefully someday soon you get to a warm place with sand in your toes.
Thanks.
We can talk about ways to quit smoking all we want, but it's still not an easy thing to do. I heard Regina Thorne, one of our mental health clinicians in Thompson, quit a few years ago. I think I'll see if she'll tell me her real life quit smoking story. Hi, Regina. How are you today?
I'm good. It's great to hear from you.
Thorne is a very northern name, but we've never talked about this. Have you been in the north all your life?
No. So I'm originally from Newfoundland. I was born and raised there. I've been here quite a few years, though. I'm married and have two children, and I started working with the Northern Health Region some time ago.
Some time ago being 2 years or 15 years?
In May 2022, it will be 14 years that I've been here. Time certainly goes quick.
No kidding. Have you been a mental health clinician the whole time, or did you join us doing something else and move into that?
I did a fourth year field placement. My background is in social work, and I started with the Northern Health Region May 2008 as a child and adolescent mental health clinician. I stayed in that role for 5 years, and then later I moved into working with adults.
As you got older, your caseload got older.
Yes.
You grew up with them.
Yeah, just transitioned.
You grew in your role, you grew with your caseload, but what have you grown into in the north? What fills your time when you're not at work?
Certainly, I enjoy spending time with family and friends. In the summer, I really enjoy camping, and we purchased some kayaks this winter, and we're really excited to try them out.
So have you kayaked before, or will this be your first run?
I have. I haven't done that recently, but my husband and son have been doing that last summer. So we just borrowed some from a friend to see if it was something that we like to purchase ourselves.
And you loved it so much you did.
Yeah, for sure.
It's National Non-Smoking Week, and we got tipped off. I don't know what you'd call it. A fairy? A secret agent? Okay, well, we'll rat her out. Danielle LaMole.
Yes.
Who's one of our smoking cessation people, said, hey, you might want to give Regina a call. I know she quit smoking. How long did you smoke and how long ago did you quit?
I did start smoking in my teenage years and off and on, but I did initially try to quit for good, like back in January 2006. And then I started smoking again 2 years later. And then I quit for good in May 2013. So it'll be 9 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
That's a long haul. In the end, what was it that helped you to quit?
I think what was different this time is I was doing it for me, because usually when you smoke, people around you want you to quit smoking, right? But this time I really, I done it for me. In the work that I do, of course, you look at that cycle of change. I think sometimes you can go through that several times, right? And learn something from it. So this time I did use the nicotine replacement therapy. So I used patches, which certainly helped me with the cravings and the withdrawal symptoms, instead of like quitting cold turkey like I'd done in the past. So I really felt that did help. And then making a plan. I don't think I actually structured it before. Like I wrote down a date that I was going to quit and coming up with a plan to replace some of those behaviors. And so I think by having that plan psychologically, it really helped me prepare myself more for it, if that makes sense. It
totally makes sense. And yeah. Obviously, it worked for you.
Yes.
I'm guessing you told some of the people around you, too, that that was your date and they gave you a bit of support as well. Was that part of your plan?
Like, absolutely. I think taking it a little more serious the last time, you know, you recognize that sometimes your life revolves around, you know, like when you're going to smoke a cigarette and like after supper, you know, going out for smoke because I didn't like smoke in my home or around my family. So I would like plan to take a walk around the block. So I did those sort of things, I guess, in that sense, replacing that time.
Yeah.
I also use a lot of mindfulness strategies and reminding myself when there were a couple times I did give in, but because of that nicotine replacement therapy, I was able to be, I guess, more successful and not continue in that pattern.
You mentioned that this time you did it for you. What was it that finally pushed you over the edge to make this stronger commitment? Do you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, all, you know, the health benefits, just being able to breathe better, you know, just a better quality of life. Because when, like I said, when you do smoke cigarettes on a regular basis, that's what your routine becomes about. Ultimately, just being more mindful. And I just wanted to be more of that person.
Wow. So good. It was like you were in a bad relationship. You had to break out.
Yes. I mean, just like with any behavior that you want to change, right? It needs to become a part of your awareness to be able to make that change. And I think, you know, every time you go through, like I said, that cycle, I think you can learn something new to be able to help you, right? That's the hope anyway.
Congratulations to you. Thanks for sharing that with me. Let's talk again soon.
Okay, for sure.
Well, that's my call list for today. Thanks to Helga. Best of luck to Craig. We all know where to go for toilet paper, Colleen. And Regina, 9 years smoke-free. What a story. I hope you'll join me again next time for Taking the Temperature of the NRHA. I'm your host, Bruce Krentz. If you'd like me to give you a call, or if you have someone you think I should talk to, drop me a note. bkrentz@nrha.ca.